Welcome to the SOAP video series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We're at the end, 10th week, we have come to the end of the Gospel of John. Two chapters left to go.
Yeah, unbelievable. I always give a summary. This is the shortest summary that I think I've ever written. I have four sentences. So here's what happened last week. We saw the last day in Jesus's life. He prayed in the garden, was arrested, suffered an appalling death. Old Testament scriptures were fulfilled in a number of ways.
Yeah.
And he was buried in a new tomb.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to keep it short there. So now in chapter 20 is the rest of the story.
Yeah.
So very early the next day, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. She saw that a stone had been moved away. So she ran to Peter and John. John, of course, doesn't identify himself as John, but he was the other disciple whom Jesus loved.
We assume it's John. Yeah. Some people think it's other people. You know,
yeah.
Some people give other names as options, yeah. But
then there's another line. This other disciple ran faster and got to the tomb first. Yeah. So John ran faster than Peter, and he just wanted everybody to know.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. So Peter actually went inside the tomb and saw the face cloth that was actually rolled up and put almost off by itself.
Yep.
John came in, and they believed that Jesus was resurrected. Mary saw two angels sitting where Jesus's body was and the angel asked, "Why are you weeping?" And she responded, "Well, they took my Lord away. I don't know where they've put him."
Yeah.
And then Jesus asked from behind her, "Woman, why are you weeping and who are you looking for?" And it took her a minute, but Mary identified him as Jesus. And Jesus said, "Do not touch me. I have not ascended to my Father.
Mm-hmm.
Go tell my brothers," and Mary informed the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I got three questions for you out of this. I wanted to kind of, you know, get through the section and then ask my questions.
Yes.
Do you want all the questions or one at a time?
Let's do it one at a time.
Okay. What was the purpose of the two angels sitting on the tomb?
So it's interesting because the other gospels, sometimes they say one, sometimes two, you know, right. Whatever. I take it as under the Mosaic law, which they're still living, right?
Yep.
Nothing could be accepted as legal or official without a couple of witnesses.
Right.
Right. So there had to be two to say, yes, this is actually true. Right. Okay. So I'm going to take it as a fulfillment or as a, you know, there's two guys standing there. Yes. This is actually true. He's risen.
Okay. Probably the most famous question in here. What is Jesus talking about? I've not ascended to my Father's throne yet.
Yeah, so, I mean, I grew up in Sunday school. I've heard this all the time. Do not touch me. I haven't ascended. It's like, you know, the bread. You can't touch the cake.
Yeah.
You know, the cake hasn't right. risen yet. The bread hasn't fully proofed yet. He's like, I'm not done baking. You know, you can't touch me. that's just how I always imagined it. I think what it is when she figured out who it was, she grabbed
hold
of it, you know, and I think what it is not, don't touch me. You know, I think it's okay. I'm not gone yet. You don't have to cling to me. You don't have to, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to, I'm not gone yet. I am. I told you I'd be ascending. I told you I'd be leaving. I'm not gone yet.
Okay.
It's okay. That's how I take
it. That might be the first time I heard it that way.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
Well, that says a lot for that one. No one else in the entire world has ever. That's how I've read it recently. Yeah, over time, I'm like, I don't think it's don't touch me. I think it's okay.
Right.
I think because there's an assurance, there's a reassurance, I think, going on here.
Right.
So,
well, there's the cool God thing. Don't touch me. You know.
Yeah, and yet he's going to tell Thomas later on.
Right.
Touch me.
Oh, he's.
You know,
right.
So I think it's more because the word translated touch here in this, it isn't just that. It can mean cling to, it can mean grasp or whatever. So I'm going to take it that way. Yeah, maybe wishful thinking, but.
Okay. My third question is, Jesus refers to his disciples as brother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember him referring to his disciples as brothers. And even if he did, why would he use that word now where brothers means like an equal?
Yeah.
And Jesus wasn't equal before, and he certainly isn't equal to him now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know right off the top of my head, you know, if he's ever called them brothers before. I do remember back in chapter 15, he said, I'm going to call you friends. So there is already
that type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, you're my friends. I no longer call you slaves, but I've called you friends. So did he ever use the brothers thing before? At the very least, what we know as we've read through the gospel, as we read through the gospels, I mean, they lived like brothers.
Right.
You know, there was, so even if he never used that term before, which, and he may have, and I just don't remember, like you said, there's this reassurance going on. You know, you don't have to worry about holding tightly to me. Go tell him I'm back and I'll see him soon. Okay. Basically, I think is what's going on here.
So that evening, the disciples were gathered together in a room. They locked the door against the Jewish leaders from barging in.
Yeah.
Jesus appears in the room, says, peace be with you.
The door's locked and Jesus pops in, you know.
Yeah. For those in the room, he showed them his hands and sides, which had been pierced. Jesus breathed it on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you retain anyone's sins, they are retained.
Yep.
Okay, this time I have four questions for what's going on here. They keep giving a time marker of the first day of the week, which is fine, but why not say 3 days after his death?
Because the whole third day thing was really, really important at the time, you know, to the Jew. I mean, first of all, Matthew is the only one who says 3 days and three nights. Everyone else is just on the third day, mm-hmm. right? On the third day, I'll rise. On the third day, I'll be resurrected. But remember, John was writing like 60 years later,
right?
And once the church started and everything, the first day of the week became so much more important than on the back side of things than on the front side where it was the third day. So John's writing on the first day of the week, that's when he rose. On the first day of the week is when Mary saw him. On the first day of the week is when the disciples saw him for the first time. He's really pounding down. This wasn't days and days and days later. This was right then he had all of these appearances, not all of them, but several of these appearances.
Right. Within a short period.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus says, just as the Father has sent me, I also send you.
Mm-hmm.
So where is Jesus sending them?
So this is the beginning. We usually think of the Great Commission in Matthew, you know, go make disciples.
Right.
But even like literally the very first time he sees them and they see him, he says, job's not over yet. We're just getting started. So how many times in John has he said, the Father sent me, the Father sent me, the Father sent me. Now I'm going away. Guys, it's time to get to work. So I think it's just the beginning of the Great Commission that he's going to spell out in a couple of different pieces.
Okay. Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit by breathing on them.
Yeah.
I assume that's just a temporary thing until Acts 2?
Yeah, so this is really cool because breath and wind and spirit, there's a little bit of a play on words here.
Yeah.
So how did God, when God created human beings,
He breathed into
their nostrils the breath of life. They became a living being. So he's giving them spiritual life at this point. This isn't the baptism of the Spirit. This isn't the beginning of the church. This is I think temporary. They will get the Holy Spirit indwelling them fully, finally, in Acts 2. But this is sort of like a temporary holdover, I think, until the Holy Spirit comes. I think it's also a little bit of a fulfillment. Part of the Holy Spirit's job, especially for them, was comforter, like we were talking about in chapters like 14, 15, 16. And they need some comfort and they need some peace and they need some stability right now. And that's the Holy Spirit's job. And so he says, it's going to be some tumultuous time. Have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Okay. Last one. Jesus gave the disciples the ability to forgive sins or retain sins.
Mm-hmm.
Is this also temporary?
Yeah. So it goes actually back to Matthew 18, where he talked about binding and loosing a brother who is in sin or is in repentance, right? There's actually a Greek grammar thing going on here. It's a perfect passive. Anyway, basically what it says is when you make this declaration, it's not that heaven is responding to you and, you know, heaven has to say, well, I guess he said it's forgiven. I have to do that. It's when you declare someone's sin forgiven or you declare someone's sin has not been forgiven, that's already been done in heaven. That's already been declared. And your declaration is actually matching heaven's authority. You're doing it with heaven's authority, not the other way around.
Okay.
So you have a message. I'm sending you out with the message. And when you say that, you have the authority to say that because you have the authority from heaven.
Okay. So Thomas wasn't there when this was said. And he later said, well, unless I see the wound and, you know, I'll never believe it.
Yeah.
So 8 days later, Jesus appeared again to them and Thomas and told Thomas to examine him and believe. And then Jesus said, you believed because you saw me. Blessed are the people who have not seen and yet have believed.
Yeah.
I love that because that's us.
Yeah. Well, it's us. And then if you just do a quick scan back through the Gospel of John, there was blind men. There was all sorts of other things. There's
always that belief.
Yeah. It's always been about faith, right? It's always been through faith, which is what wraps up then the gospel here too, right?
So John ends this reading for today and this whole gospel with Jesus performed many other miracles in the presence of the disciples that were not recorded, but John recorded these so that we may believe. We may believe and be saved.
Right. And that's, I mean, it's classic. I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, how many times have we pointed to the evangelistic message of the Gospel of John, right?
Right.
That's his theme. It's his purpose. And he didn't necessarily say it up front, but he built up to it. And he said, you know, I could have picked thousands of these things. So now what that forces us to do is we have to go back through the Gospel of John and say, okay, so now let's take a look at the signs. You know, we focus on the I am statements or we focus on, you know, whatever. Let's go back and look at the signs again and revisit how are these signs supposed to help someone believe in Jesus? What are these signs telling us about Jesus? And so John says, sorry, you have to read it again.
Yeah, right.
But it also reminds us that life, faith, or salvation comes through faith, right? You know, we don't have to be made alive before we can believe. It goes all the way back to chapter one. Having believed, they become the children of God, right? It's the whole thing.
Okay, you know, one more chapter, right?
Yep, 21.
Chapter 21. So a number of disciples were together. John names them all, Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, James, and John, who were the sons of Zebedee, and two others.
Right.
So Peter wanted to go fishing. and so they all joined him. So that night they went. They caught no fish. Jesus was on the beach, but the disciples didn't recognize him. Jesus told them to throw the net off the right side of the boat, and they would catch some fish. So they did, and there were so many fish in that they couldn't lift the net in because of the large number of fish that were caught.
Yep.
So did you
have... a couple of things in here. First of all, I love the fact that Peter wanted to go fishing, right? It's not because... And you remember that Peter's job was a fisherman, right? So Jesus said, you know, in the last chapter, I'm sending you. Except he hadn't given them the whole commission yet. The Holy Spirit hadn't, you know, this isn't Acts yet. They didn't have their job. They didn't have their commission. But Peter's not one for just sitting around.
Right.
So he's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So I'm going to go back to what I know.
Right.
I'm just going to keep
working. So do you think he was going to go back to fishing until...
I think it was an until.
Okay.
Yeah. I think this was a, I'm not just going to sit around and wait. We've got work to do. Let's go. This is all I know. Let's go do it. Right.
Right.
And then Jesus has him pull up all these fish and everything. And it says the disciple who Jesus loved, we think it's John, looks at Peter and says, that's the Lord.
Yep.
And I think John's like, that's Jesus. And Peter's like, and he jumps out of the boat, right?
Yep.
Now, here's my question.
You know where you're going. Yep.
Did he think he was going
to
run?
I was going to ask, right? Was he going to be able to walk on water?
Was he walking on water? Did he think he was running all the way into the beach? Did he expect to swim? Did it, you know, because Peter's the one who walked on it before, you know?
Right.
So what was in his mind? Was he not thinking at all? Was he just jumping in and whatever may be type thing?
Right. It also said they were 300 yards from shore.
Yeah.
Which really isn't that far. And they couldn't bring the net in to the boat, so they had no choice. They were taking the boat to land anyways.
Yeah.
Swimming 300 yards and waiting for a boat to go 300 yards, he didn't get there much before the boat did.
Well, you know, if there's only seven of them in the boat, and now there's only six, and how many of them are holding the net, and how many of them are rowing, it may have taken a little bit of time.
Okay.
But if it's 300 yards away... you know, 3 football fields. That's almost a kilometer, right? Well, yeah, it makes sense. They couldn't make out Jesus on the shore because he's, hey guys, catch anything? Nah, it was a bust of a night, you know, type
plus
thing.
Plus they're tired.
Yeah, plus they're tired. It's dawn, you know, the whole thing or whatever it is. And then they pull this thing in and he's like, That's Jesus.
Yeah. All right, so they get back to the beach. Jesus has a charcoal fire ready, and specifically charcoal, which is cool.
Yeah.
With fish and bread.
No propane back then, I guess, yeah. Grill.
He asked the disciples to add in some of their fish. Turns out they had 153 fish, and this is the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples.
Yeah.
All right, I got a last set of questions for you. Well, actually, we already answered the first one. Why were they fishing?
Yeah.
The second one, there's some odd details in here. 153 yeah. fish, charcoal fire that was ready. You know, my understanding of charcoal, at least when I've used charcoal, there's a minimum of a half hour. There's no way it took them a half. Well, maybe it took them a half hour to get it in there. But it seems like, you know, Jesus
already had it.
Yeah, going. Had it going.
Yeah.
Any idea? I mean, 153 is not a special number, right?
No, but it's an added detail that I think adds to the veracity of the eyewitness account. You know, yeah. Anybody can say, oh, there was a lot of fish, right? But it's the same thing. You know, there were 5,000 men who were fed. There were, you know, 12 right. baskets left over. There were 153 fish. All of these details tell us this is not just some, you know, generic account or some, you know, this is an eyewitness. He's like, there were 153 right. fish. I was there. I counted. I saw yeah. it type thing. Yeah.
Jesus restores Peter. If you remember, Peter denied Jesus three times. So Jesus asks him three similar questions to Peter.
Yeah.
The first one, do you love me?
Yep.
What is it? Do you love me?
Do you love me? Okay. And he said, yes, I love you.
Yep.
And each one of these, he gives him a command.
Yeah.
Now,
feed my lambs, first one.
Yeah, right. Now, Jesus, the first two times, used a different word. Right. So Jesus said, do you love me with agape? Right. And Peter said, well, I phileo you. So agape seems to be a bigger kind of love. Phileo is more of the friend, brother, like we asked, you know, tell my brothers, well, I'm, you know, I love you, but I'm not sure I can go all the way. Right. Because I just denied you. Right. Well, the third time Jesus said, Peter, are you really my friend? Do you really love me like a friend? And I think that's why Peter was so distressed and distraught.
Because he's already said yes.
Because twice now Jesus is like, are you willing to, you know, do you love me with everything? Well, I love you like a friend. Do you love me with everything? Well, I love you like a friend. Do you really love me like a friend? And he's just like, stick the knife in farther, why don't you, type thing. But Jesus brings him back and he restores him. I think that's the...
Yeah, that's the takeaway.
That's the cool thing. Here,
yeah. Peter's also told how he was going to die, glorifying God. And then Peter looks at John and says, how's he going to die?
Yeah.
A little bit nicer than that. And Jesus replies, if I want him to live till I come back, what concern is that of yours? You need to follow me.
I love the thing in here because John is really old when he writes this,
yeah.
right? And it seems like maybe there was a rumor that... Right. John's not going to die.
Yeah, right.
Jesus. But you can already see.
Well, they tried to kill him a couple of times.
Oh, right? Yeah, absolutely. He's impervious to death. What's interesting is that John, even 1900 years ago, people take things out of context and build right. these big things. Or Jesus said John wasn't going to die. Jesus never said, I'm not going to die. Right. He said, I'm not going to tell you how he's going to die. It's none of your business. You can see John already being frustrated.
Yeah.
That stop taking stuff out of context.
Yeah. So John ends his gospel saying that he's a disciple. He's testified truthfully about this.
Yep.
And this is his testimony. And he says if he wrote everything down, there wouldn't be enough room in the world for his books.
Yeah. I love the fact that he says, I suppose, or it seems like, right? It's hyperbole. He's not saying the world.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. He's 90 something years old at this point. He finally finishes his memoir type thing,
right?
You know, the account of Jesus. He's like, man, if I wrote everything down, I don't know that the world could even hold the books, you know, because he's thinking, you know, these are the things that I chose to write. I mean, I'm remembering all this stuff. I could have chosen to write down all this other stuff. He's just like, I want you to understand who Jesus really is. And that's why I wrote this book for you.
Yeah.
And I want you to believe in him the way I believe in him. Do you believe? Which is Jesus' question from a few weeks ago, right? Do you believe? And I think that's really the point that John's trying to make. Do you believe? Read this. Read it again. Read it until you believe.
Right.
Because there's nothing, there is no other way, there is no other truth, there is no other life. All the stuff that John wrote really comes together, and you see this old man thinking, man, I can't wait to see him again.
Yeah, yeah. Great book. I loved going through it. Terrible last week with the death, of course, but like you said, we know the ending.
Yeah.
And I always learn, right, going through it. So it's always cool to go through.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully you have enjoyed this time that we've spent through the Gospel of John. As always, send in your questions and comments. Tell us, share with us, you know, what are some of your favorite parts? What are, as you think back through the Gospel, you know, as John thinks back, oh man, I remember this, I remember this. What do you remember? What are the standout things that you have? Share those with us. We'd love to hear those. Subscribe and follow so that when we do post new stuff, you see those as well. And we will see you back here next time with...
A new book.
A new book.
Woo!
See you then.
Bye, everybody.